and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacy, and today we are talking about Facebook, and more Facebook. It is a Facebook special, if you will, and that was not on purpose. It's just there's a lot that's happening with Facebook right now. So the first thing that happened, and this was kind of funny, is that Facebook had a bug for about half an hour, which asked if literally every post was hate speech. This is evidently a new feature that Facebook is working on, and this was supposed to be an internal test, but the bug somehow caused it to be launched publicly so that regular everyday users could see it, not just Facebook staff. It only lasted about half an hour, but some of the users took some really wonderful screenshots because, of course, again, that post, the hate speech question was on every post. It was, is this hate speech, yes or no? And then if you clicked yes, you did see several things like test one or test two or T1 or something like that, that showed that, yes, this was really meant to be a test. But just having it show up below every post made for some funny moments. It showed up below like a picture of a puppy. Is a picture of a puppy hate speech, yes or no? Showed up below, you know, ideas for vacations. And it also showed up below Mark Zuckerberg's own posting that he did for a conference Facebook was doing. Is this hate speech, yes or no? People had a lot of fun with that one. This is partly due to Facebook, you know, changing a lot of things and trying to make up for the Cambridge Analytica scandal. So the week before, Facebook had actually released the guidelines it uses to enforce its rules as a move to be a bit more transparent, which is something that people have complained about, but also the fact that people can misuse Facebook and put out false information or put out hate speech, thus this creation of this thing that was not yet ready to be launched publicly. Facebook is also decided that it's going to rank news outlets by their trustworthiness. So depending on how the news outlet is ranked regarding whether or not it's trustworthy will determine its placement in the news feed. So this is not, it's not that you wouldn't be able to see them, it's just that they would be placed lower. Zuckerberg has said that Facebook has a responsibility to help reduce polarization and help people find common ground, and that a shared set of facts and a common understanding of truth is essential for democracy. And that latter part is probably really, really true, but this does bring up some concerns people had about whether or not this is censorship, in the same way that people were concerned about net neutrality of, you know, it's not making it that you can't ever get to this website, but if it's more difficult, is that not necessarily a form of censorship as well? Is that not also necessarily not fair if certain people rank higher than others according to what may or may not be the whims of a small group of people and not the general consensus of the majority? And the news trustworthy one is most definitely in response to Cambridge Analytica, because Cambridge Analytica use data to create false ads during the 2016 election. And now it's becoming, with the whole thing about fake news, that you don't really know what you can trust. We did a few episodes ago talk about deepfakes and the fact that now it's not just we're making up stories, but that we can make up videos and pictures. So even, you know, if a picture says 1,000 words and a video probably says more than that, all of those words might actually not be true. They might all completely be lies, that this never really happened at all, but we now have the technology to make it look very real like it did. Who now do we know? Who can we trust? What can we really believe? What is real? So this is probably a part for Facebook trying to help that situation. And I mean, I'm not sure how much you can do now, especially with the deep fakes technology. This feels very much sort of cat is out of the bag, and the bag has been completely shredded, that I don't think you can put the cat back in the bag, that we might have to, going forward, adjust maybe as a society. But that's a bit worrisome. How do we as a society, a whole society, adjust to what we believe, what we hold to be real and true and facts? That would take, even if we could do it, that would take a long time to do. And so it's a bit scary, frankly, when you think about it going forward. What is the near future going to bring? Are we possibly, you know, heading to a technological apocalypse or a real apocalypse? Or what, will we still be here in like a decade or 20 years? Or will we be completely unrecognizable? I mean, that's getting a little doomsday-ish talk, so I'll try and stay away from that. But just this idea that I don't now know what to believe and what to trust, and giving that power to anybody to determine whether or not this is true, or this is real, or this is, you know, hate speech even. Human beings have always found ways to very quickly abuse powers they've been given. So the idea that they would have this is a bit worrisome. I definitely do want to have a way to get rid of hate speech and to, you know, somehow make it so that people who do participate in hate speech are in some ways affected and or punished. But I'm a little worried about the methods that we're going forward, not just in Facebook, but as a society. And you start seeing some people complaining that, oh, everything's either hate speech or politically incorrect, you can't say anything. And I don't agree with that fully. It's probably a large adjustment for some people, that what you grew up being totally able to say, or what you grew up thinking was perfectly okay, is not actually that case. And it's really hard to change habits and thought processes, especially. But I don't think that this idea that, oh, you can't say anything because someone will be offended, I don't think we're there. I think being considerate of others is a good thing. I think we could all probably stand to improve on that a bit. But I don't know that we have yet gotten to a point where we know how to go about doing that well. I feel there's going to be a lot of stumbles and missteps taken, and Facebook's new steps with hate speech and trustworthiness may or may not be that. I don't want to, again, be a doomsday sayer and say, oh, Facebook's going to fail. Oh, they've messed up ever since Cambridge Analytica and they're never going to get anything right again. That's not what I'm saying at all. But just this idea that I don't know how well you can trust the people on the, how well you can trust the internet to sort of judge itself, if you will, that it is not the most standard or the most objective of judges when it comes to almost anything. Like, if you go out far enough, you probably could get as close to an objective judgment as you can, but that would require asking and getting responses from millions and millions, maybe even billions of people on a good number of topics, maybe every topic, to determine whether or not this is hate speech, whether or not this is trustworthy, whether or not this is okay, whether or not this is real. And it might not even be possible for certain things to fully get that judgment. Different cultures look at certain behaviors differently. What's okay in one country is not okay in another. What's okay with certain populations is not okay with others. So I think it's going to be very hard going forward, but I applaud Facebook for at least being willing to take the steps and recognizing that as such a large social media force, they do have a responsibility to at least try and do this well. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Today we are talking all about Facebook, which has been the news for the past few months, and not necessarily in the best way. And continuing, it may not be in the best way going forward, in that Mark Zuckerberg may have to appear before Parliament. It's probably somewhat very similar to the way he had to appear before Congress. MPs, which I believe are members of parliament, that's what that stands for, have threatened to issue Zuckerberg with a formal summons if he doesn't voluntarily agree to answer questions regarding the Cambridge Analytica situation. They've previously asked for him to answer questions, and rather than going himself, he has sent someone else in his place to answer questions, but the MPs did not feel that their questions were sufficiently answered, and so they want to talk to Zuckerberg himself. Now, you're probably thinking, wait, can they do that? They're British and he's American, and how does this whole international thing work? You probably wouldn't be extradited just to answer questions. Probably not. Zuckerberg does not normally come under Parliament's jurisdiction, because again, not British, but he could the next time he's in the UK, because then he would be on their soil and not so much when in Rome do as the Romans do, but when in Rome, you do kind of have to follow Roman laws unless you've got diplomatic immunity. So if you don't, you can do whatever their jurisdiction allows you to do, including being forced to answer questions, evidently. So in theory, Zuckerberg could be found in contempt of Parliament if he refuses to go before them. But it's not clear that that would do much. Again, he's not under their jurisdiction unless he's actually in their country. So the reality is that most likely, at worst, the punishment for ignoring the summons would be this really long sort of historically set process, resulting in not much more than a formal warning from the House of Commons. And not even evidently both houses, just the House of Commons somehow. So it's not clear that Parliament could actually force him to appear before them. And it's not clear that if he completely refuses to do so, other than staying, I guess, physically out of Britain, that he would face any sort of action. It would just sort of be like a sternly worded warning or something, but probably not headlines that he would want in Britain that he's refusing Parliament. So still a situation. I'm sure he's a little tired of talking about Cambridge Analytica, but people still have questions. And so this situation will continue. Facebook, however, we talked earlier, is adding several new features. And some of these were in the works even before Cambridge Analytica, but they're just all coming out now, probably to sort of remind people why Facebook at least was great and that it's not just this one scandal, that there's more to Facebook than that. So Facebook is now adding a clear history feature, because one of the problems, one of the things that a lot of people brought up with the Cambridge Analytica situation was that their data is out there, and it sort of feels a lot like companies, especially companies who pay, can see their data and they themselves can't, and they have no control over their own data and who gets to see it and all of that. So Facebook is adding a clear history feature, which will start telling users which websites track them across the web and offer them the option to delete the personal data from their accounts. And that's because Facebook, even though those websites may not be Facebook's themselves, Facebook does sort of track you at any website where, you know, there's the option to sort of click in or log in by Facebook, or it has the little F on the side that Facebook can track through all those things. So it'll now start telling you which websites are tracking them and let you delete that if you wish. It's very similar to clearing your web browser's history. What you've clicked on from the websites you frequent and the like would be wiped completely from your Facebook account. Well, I shouldn't say completely, because we'll get there in a moment. It's wiped from your account, and it won't be tied to you, and it won't be used for targeting, but it still can be kept anonymously for certain companies that use Facebook for analytics. So it'll say that random user whatever visited such and such sites and appears to like such and such things, but it won't specifically tie that to John Smith or whoever. It'll just be all tied together without a specific identity that it's tied to, evidently. Zuckerberg does warn that if users do choose to use this option when it does eventually roll out, it's not available now, but it will be coming soon in the upcoming months. If you do choose to clear the information, your use of Facebook might suffer, because Facebook would then have to relearn your preferences, which I'm not sure, for me at least, that that would really affect my usage of Facebook, although I was never the biggest user of Facebook to begin with. But I don't know how much the websites I visit has affected my how Facebook appears to me and how easily or not I find it to use Facebook. So I'm not quite sure how that is, but Zuckerberg did warn that that it could affect, because since you cleared all that data, Facebook doesn't know, it doesn't have that data to rely on, that you specifically like certain things, don't like certain things, prefer certain things, or whatever. Which, okay, fine. But I think a lot of people might find that as worth the trouble, if it means that their data's somewhat more secure, or at least not tied to them, and therefore can't be used, not against them, but be used maybe for nefarious purposes. It's also not clear if this option, if there will be an option to just sort of delete specific sites, or if it's a completely delete everything. Because for my web browser, at least, and I don't know about the listeners, but I at least can actually go into my history and delete specific sites without having to wipe my complete history, which is a bit of a pain, because then for websites that I go into a lot, I have to re-sign in and maybe even re-key in my password so that it's remembered every time, the whole keep me signed in option, which I dislike. So I tend to not use that, but if there's something, and I especially if I like looked up something once for maybe a minute and then it keeps showing up in my ads all the time, I'm just like, stop. Seriously, I'm not that interested. I was interested for all of a minute. What are you doing? Why do you think you need to show me like ads for the next 3 weeks about this one thing of like a jacket or whatever? It's like, please stop. So it would be really nice, I think, especially for Facebook, because this would affect, according to Zuckerberg, people's usage of the site while it has to relearn the preferences. I think it would be a really good idea if Facebook offered it not just one whole clear swipe, but to be able to pick and choose, oh, this one thing that I looked at once, I don't want anymore, but hey, this site that I go to like every other day, yeah, that's fine, keep that, because that affects how I use Facebook somehow. Again, I'm still quite confused on how that even works and how the sites you visit affect your usage of Facebook, apparently in the way and how easy it is for you to use or not use Facebook. Not quite clear on how that works, but it would be good if there was some sort of individual pick and choose option for that clearing thing. But I also think that, like the hate speech and the news trustworthy features that they're working on, that this is definitely something that they're going to have to sort of put out, see the response, tweak a little bit, put out, see the response, tweak a little bit more. That I doubt that for any of these, they'll immediately be able to get it in the first version that comes out, because A, these are all new features, but B, because of the sort of sensitivity of them and how emotionally people feel about some of them, it will take a bit before they can get it just right. And of course, they'll never be able to please everybody, because that's not how anything works, but that this will be something they'll have to work on. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Our final story on this All About Facebook episode is that Facebook is evidently going to create a dating app. Now this, like other things, was something that was in the works before the Cambridge Analytica situation. This has actually been considered by Facebook for over a decade, since I believe 2005 or so, but they evidently just sort of never felt it was right, or that it was worth it, or something. But they have now decided this is the right time, and or we've got it close enough that we're going to start putting this out soon, where potential matches will be recommended based on dating preferences, things in common, and mutual friends. And that this app, option, service, not quite sure what to call it, this feature of Facebook will be aimed more so at long-term relationships and not just hookups, which is kind of interesting considering that when Facebook released this news, the stocks for Tinder's parent company totally fell. But I believe Tinder's parent company is also Match.com's parent company. So for both of them, that whole company stocks just completely fell when this was announced, because I guess people are thinking Facebook maybe can do this better, and so it won't be worth it to have stocks in that company. I'm not sure. I don't do the stock market, so I'm always a little confused on how the stock market works. But Facebook for dating, on the one hand, makes a lot of sense, and again, is a little confusing why this hasn't happened before, since they have been thinking about it for over a decade. And especially sort of considering that Facebook was sort of first created for people to see whether or not other people were single. Yeah, why wasn't a dating feature introduced more? Did they think like it was just sort of there and didn't need to be specifically specified? Or I don't know. But the idea that especially being able to look at your preferences and things you like and see what you have in common, if you use Facebook a lot for that, would be really simple, and it wouldn't have to go through a whole new process with having to to sign up and answer however many questions. I don't really use dating apps, so I'm not sure. And so that it's already there and being able to, or not see, I guess I shouldn't say that, but having that connection through mutual friends of person A is friends with so-and-so and person B is also friends with so-and-so. So you have that middle person to sort of vouch for the other person in this potential relationship. Oh, how are they? Are they cool? Do you think they'd like me? In the same way that you can do that in real life with actual physical people you actually see in person and not just through a computer screen of, oh, hey, who's your friend? Oh, hey, is he or she single? So-and-so and so-and-so. Now, for some people, that might actually be like a complete negative, that they hate being set up by their friends, that it never works out for them, or that it may make things super, super awkward. If you have this mutual friend and then you eventually break up, how do you deal with mutual friends when that's the case? How do you deal with the mutual friend you sort of met through and got together through if you've broken up? So it's a toss and turn, but I mean, dating is always complicated. Can be really great for some things. It can also be really terrible for other things, not even on purpose, but just by nature of not being there and being in person and having that sort of sense of anonymity. So it's hard to see before this happens how well this may or may not work. Again, it kind of feels that, especially in the early days, Facebook was already kind of doing this, but it was not. It allowed you sort of to do it for yourself more so, I should say. It didn't do it for you suggesting, oh, hey, so-and-so is single and you both like, you know, bossa nova or something. Like, it was just like, hey, so-and-so is single, but you kind of had to know so-and-so or at least be able to find them before you could find that out. So now to be like, hey, so-and-so that you both are friends with has a friend who's single and you guys share these three interests or whatever. Up and down, toss and turn. Maybe not. Not quite sure. I may or may not feel more comfortable using Facebook than other dating apps. I'd probably be more comfortable than using Tinder. But for the ones like for Match or eHarmony that do specifically seem to target themselves at least also towards more long-term relationships, it'll be interesting to see how Facebook compares to them, but also to see if they change anything about the way they operate as this Facebook app comes to fruition and we see the results of it. It's possible that this will just be a huge bomb for Facebook, or it's possible, and I think this is what they're hoping, that this will completely change the, I'm not even sure if it would be online, I guess it would be online dating, since your mutual friends don't necessarily have to be people you actually physically are in the same place with. So yeah, it's very strange to think of, but also strange that this hasn't happened. Not that this is the relationship podcast, but I myself personally prefer to be friends with someone before I date them. So this might be good for that, in that, hey, you have this mutual friend in common, or you're both interested in these same things and they're single, and to just sort of become friends at first, and not just like Facebook friends, but friends, real friends that existed before Facebook, even if it's just through the internet. Pen pals? Email pen pals? No, now I'm thinking of You've Got Mail, which would be an interesting situation if I ever found myself in. I don't know what I do. But to use this as a way of sort of finding people I have things in common with and become friends with them, and then maybe, or maybe not, start to date them. And I wonder if that would be something that a lot of users would do, is to use this not just for dating and romantic relationships, but also to use this to find friends as like a better way to filter friends. We have mutual friends and mutual interests in common, and I can tell that already. Hey, let's just connect and communicate and get together maybe. I don't know. Now I'm really interested to see if that would even allow you the option, since it's aimed more so at long-term relationships than at hookups. Would it allow you to do this with multiple people? To be chatting with multiple people? I don't know. It's not out yet. Facebook says they're working on it, but hasn't said a specific time of when it'll come. So I guess we'll all just have to wait and see, as we will for pretty much all the things we've mentioned today. Facebook's working on a lot, but also working through a lot. So it'll take some time to see where everything falls out. But on that note, we're going to end for today. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.